Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Welcome, everybody, to Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. I am your host, T. Morris. It is season 4 of Podcasting for Dummies, and it is episode 15. And joining me, as always, is my partner, Chuck Tomasi. Chuck, good to see you. How are you?
Good to be here again. What do we got today, T?
Oh, today. Today's it's not as techie as the previous episode.
No, that was pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah. But this is definitely something that's going to be fun to talk about. This is the last step in not the last step, but is one. It is the penultimate step.
Okay.
And maybe that's the way to call it, the penultimate step. I know, great word, penultimate. You know,
can't overuse that word.
No, you can't.
It's like the second place.
It's the penultimate supper.
You know, the end is near.
Yeah. I want a last supper with no Jell-O, no bloody kangaroos, no Mary Berchy buns, 12 disciples, and one Christ.
One!
You know that sketch?
And what are we talking about today, T?
All right. Oh, yeah. Am I off topic again? Well, there's a shock. Okay. We are talking about... Okay, so at this point, you have a podcast. At this point, you've put it all together. At this point... You've got the file compressed. You've given it ID 3 tags. I'm going to say that louder for the kids in the back. You gave them the ID 3 tags. I got drop-ins too.
Yeah, here
okay,
we go.
But the one thing that we haven't talked a little bit about is show art. And this is how we are. Something that I'm pulling up right here in our stream. And yeah, if you were here at the stream, you could actually see the show art, the example that I'm giving here. This is actually figure 10-1. This is direct from the book. And we have showcased six different types of show art. So we're gonna break down all of these examples and talk a little bit about how they work as examples of show art. But show art is the thing that you basically have designed for your podcast, and you say, this is the branding. This is what I want to use, that when people glance at it, they go, oh, this is what I'm listening to, or mm-hmm. oh, this is what we're doing here. How else would you describe show art? What would you say? What is show art?
It's the visual element. I mean, even if you're doing an audio podcast, you want to be able to have something that people recognize visually. It's the branding that you put on there. And if you're doing something corporate, make sure you're working with the corporate branding people too, so they don't come back later and say, "Oh, you have to change all your album art." That's not fun.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, so let's start and let's take a look at the different examples. In the top left hand corner, you'll see it's the Steamrollers podcast, and at first glance, what does it tell you? Well, it tells you that it is stereo enhanced, and that is for good reason. Going throwing back to our previous episode, the gentleman and the crew that put together the Steamrollers Adventure podcast, that's the full name of it, the Steamrollers Adventure podcast. But what's nice about it is that you don't necessarily need that, because you see Steamrollers and then you see the 20 sided dice. So you have an idea that, okay, this is obviously RPG
mm-hmm.
and Steamrollers tells you that it has some kind of steampunk theme to it, which is exactly what it is, the yep. Steamrollers Adventure podcast. And it is simple enough, but it is also complex enough that it's very eye-catching. Chuck, did you want to go ahead and take Phil Rossi at the bottom underneath?
Phil Rossi he put his face up there, and many people do this. It's a very recognizable way to get your name, your brand out there. But it also works well in the retrospect if you already are a recognized brand. I mean, if Morgan Freeman.
It would work for Martin Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. Either one of them. If they put their face out there, you go, ooh, you know, that's Morgan Freeman. I want to listen to him because he's just got that cool voice to listen to. I'll listen to him read the phone book if I have to. The type on this one, I'm not really making out what the font or what the letters say offhand. So there is something to be said there is around what you display for text on the graphic has to jump out. You can have smaller text down there, but it should really be supporting text because somebody may be looking at this on a thumbnail. On a mobile device somewhere. So
that's true.
Whatever you that's do true. Has to work. You notice these are all square. Okay. Holy yes. Instagram, Batman. Your album art is supposed to be a square format, 3000 by 3000 or 6000 by 6000, whatever the latest revision
it's
is.
It's actually 3000 by 3000. Yeah. It's 3000 by 3000.
Okay.
Yep.
And it needs to be square, which may be troubling if you have a long podcast name like Technorama. It just doesn't fit. I'm sorry. If that's the case, you may want to think of, you know, works great on a banner on our website, but you may want to think of an abbreviation or a logo that goes with that that is just representative of that. I just noticed that Evoterra got a new logo for Podcast Pontifications. Works great as a square, but there's also like a little subtle P with an inverted P on there, kind of in a swirly fashion. That alone could be his Podcast Pontifications logo on an album art or a very small thumbnail. So lots of subtleties that work in here. You go, I've got a great podcast name. How does that work on your album art? You know, that could catch you if you have a really long name and it's only one word like Technorama.
So saying that, let's jump over to Isolde's show art there.
Yep.
That's the Innovative Mindset podcast. And again, similar to Phil, she put her image on there so that you knew, you know, this is who's the host of the Mindset podcast. You'll also notice right next to Isolde's head, there is a small little logo. And she has said, I'm starting to incorporate this on all of my podcasts, on every one of my podcasts, because she has at least three now. But each one of these podcasts has that little trademark, that little symbol. And again, it goes back to branding. She
yes.
is looking to brand the Innovative Mindset podcast. And it's basically a light bulb. It's a similar color scheme as Innovative Mindset. It's a light bulb with an eye in it. And that capital I in the light bulb, that has become Isolde's like trademark thing. You'll see it on all of her podcasts. You'll see it on all of her show art. Doesn't matter which one it is, but all three of her podcasts follow this scheme. It's the title. Chances are her image is in there, but you'll always see that light bulb with the eye inside of it. And it should say with Isolde Trachtenberg, unless she is joined by a co-host. And then those the co-hosts are also listed as well. Now, I'm going to get into changing artwork in a minute because I think that's also something worth talking about. And we're also going to save our logos for last. I think that's only fair. Sure. I think it's only fair that we save our logos for last. But the things that Chuck are talking about with branding, picture of the host, and a consistency from one show to the next show to the next show, you see that in the Innovative Mindset podcast, and that is something worth pointing out. So, what about the Spycast? How does that show art work for you?
I love that one. It is. I'm sorry. This is just one of the coolest album arts I've seen in a long time.
Well, I'll tell you this: that image. That is the official. You see this image of the long stretching shadow with the Dora. You see that in everything the International Spy Museum does.
Cool.
Everything. So keep going.
So they've got their branding down. As I mentioned, when you're dealing with a company or corporation and you're doing that as part of that, you have to work with their branding department or their graphic arts department or their communications, whoever is doing that. So you want to stay on key with that. We did that for one of the works that I did when I started the Breakpoint podcast. We had a color scheme, but there was some creativity. We outsourced it. I am not a graphic artist. I can muddle my way through and imitate a number of things in PowerPoint, but I can't come up with something like SpyCast. I'm not going to be able to draw that fedora guy. I love this one because the contrast, the primary colors are on there. The red, the white, the black, they speak very loudly. The name is crystal clear. I could read that from 100 feet away on a postage stamp. That is a great album art.
And you might not see International Spy Museum, but then when you get close, you go, oh, it's the Spy Cast.
Yes.
But it is associated with the International Spy Museum. So yes, that is on point. Chuck, would you like to go first with a breakdown of the topic as Trek? How'd you guys do it? What'd you come up with? Things like that.
Clinton did it. Again, I'm not a graphic artist. We worked collaboratively on this. We wanted the Delta Shield in there. It was a very iconic piece of Star Trek lore. And we wanted the word Trek to pop up real fast. I mean, that's the biggest word on the screen for a reason. That's what the podcast is about. Okay. If somebody is looking through and scrolling through, they search for Star Trek. We want them to hit that one. We also like the whole Galaxy Clear thing. Oddly enough, there's an upcoming series as we record this in early 2021 called Star Trek Stranger Worlds. Strange New Worlds, I believe it. It's going to be the Captain Pike series.
I was going to say, is that the Pike series?
That's, yes.
Okay. Cool. Very cool.
And
very
their cool. Logo looks an awful lot like this one. So we're waiting for our call from CBS Paramount to change our artwork. So we may be doing one of those rebranding that you're talking about soon.
So here's my question about the topic is Trek. You wanted to use the Delta.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the permission? What is the permission of using something as trade? Because when a lot of people think of trademarks or copyrighted stuff, one thing they do not necessarily consider is they don't consider things like little shapes, yeah, like the Delta, like
or the font. You know, there is a distinctive
Star Trek font.
There's a number of Star Trek fonts. If you start looking at it, this is more classic TOS, but hey, look at the movies, you know, the way the S is shaped, that kind of thing. Yeah. There's a lot to check on, and I trust my cohorts that they did their homework. If not, we're all going to jail, and it's been nice talking to you on the podcast.
The way I understand it, and if anybody has heard differently in the pod, in chat or RSL, remember, drop us a line at 703-791-1701. We'd love to hear you or just say something in chat currently. If you are doing either, say, a fan film, or if you're doing a podcast about Star Trek,
they're pretty permissive. They're pretty permissive on that stuff.
They're very permissive on it.
There are some guidelines that you need to be aware of.
There are guidelines. And that it falls under what is called the fair use doctrine. Because you're doing a show, you, Chuck, and Clinton and Craig are doing a show about Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you want to showcase some of that, you know, the Trek font, the Delta Shield. I mean, that makes sense. And, you know, and it's one thing to say, well, we're doing a show about Star Trek, and CBS Paramount would be like, oh, okay, no big deal. We're good with that. If, however, you decided you wanted to do your own original science fiction series, and you used the Star Trek font and you used the Delta, that's no bueno. That's a bozo no-no. That's where you cross the line and you go, yeah, that doesn't fall under fair use anymore. You can't use that as an excuse. That doesn't work. That does not apply. Which is why, segueing into my show art for Happy Hour from the Tower, you'll notice that I'm using both artwork and the what is called the tricorn from the video game Destiny. And again, I'm okay with that because, as you see, Happy Hour is what pops.
Yes.
And that's what we know it, you know, when you get closer, you'll see, oh, it's Happy Hour from the Tower. Okay. And as some people have told us, that is just the title alone makes you smile. And that's what we were gunning for. We wanted to come up with something that was really a lot of fun, but when people said it, it's Happy Hour from the Tower, you just call it by short Happy Hour. But when you say the full title, you're like, okay, this is basically going to be a fun look at Destiny. There's also the Destiny Tricorn, and it says right next to it, a Destiny podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I want to point out is the artwork that we used in the back. This was something, this is not the original logo that we came up with for Happy Hour.
Right.
The original logo for Happy Hour was a screenshot of my Warlock from behind, physically looking at the tower. But then when the tower gets destroyed at the beginning of Destiny 2, we're like, well, okay then, how do we fix that? And how we fixed it was we basically stayed with the same text placement and the same logo placement, but we took the background image and we swapped it out with Cade sitting in a bombed out tavern, which is from the Destiny 2 commercial. Then there was a DLC that was released where Cade basically faces off with a bunch of people. And spoiler alert, not really a spoiler alert because it happened a few years ago, Cade dies. And we're like, well, I guess we're going to be changing our artwork again. Yeah, I know. I know you're right, Marguerite. Yeah, but Cade. But so we changed our artwork again. And we used the Forsaken logo where you see Cade and you see the hip shooter and you see the ones that killed him in the distance. Then once again, new set of rules. Cade's dead. What do we do now? Oh great, we've got Shadowkeep. We've got this structure that shows up on the moon. Fourth edition. The fourth edition is, and it's similar to with Podcasting for Dummies. Fourth edition, we had to change. Now, the text has not changed one bit.
Yeah.
But every season when there is new artwork introduced in the Destiny realm, we change that. We don't do it for every season, but we definitely do it for every major DLC. The one you see there is for Beyond Light. And when the next major DLC drops, which I believe is called... it's not called Lightfall, but I think it's called Season of the Witch or something along those lines. We're going to change it again. But here's the thing to know about with changing your artwork. When you change your artwork, it's a good idea to know that you're not only doing it for episodes, because all the ones we did with the original artwork are still there, and you'll see that original artwork. And if you play one from the Forsaken, you'll see the Forsaken artwork. If you play the modern one, you'll see this one. But the actual show art, the way you are listed, that doesn't change until you go into your podcast listing. And that is through the web host, which we're going to get to in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, if you change your artwork, it's a good idea to also change the artwork that you have listed with your web host.
I discovered that a little too late. I mentioned that I'm not a graphic artist. And if you're not, reach out to the podcast community, because there are people that are very good at this, and Absolutely. It may cost you a small nickel, you know, maybe $50, and you can get a decent artwork and you work collaboratively with them. But I am not. Right. And the first one that came back from this company that we outsourced to, the font was a little small. It didn't jump out at me. So I doctored it up. I took the elements in PowerPoint and expanded here and reduced there. And I came up with a really nice one. And it wasn't until about 2 months later. You know, when you go into presentation mode in PowerPoint, sometimes you get the little arrows and, you know, forward, backward, down in the corner. Right. I took a screenshot of that and I cropped it square and I put it up there. And it wasn't till, I mean, it was a very big screen. I mean, like a Apple iMac Pro 5K. So those little controls were really tiny. And there's a number of circles on the left side of the Breakpoint podcast. It's kind of like you're looking at code, but you don't see the words. Right. You just see these blocks. And I looking down at the bottom going, what is that, a copyright notice? What? Oh my God, I left the controls on PowerPoint on. So, I reshot it and uploaded it to the web host and they were gone. But had I not done that, they would have just kept continuing on. Even though I fixed it in every episode, every MP3 that I was tagging, I would attach the new graphic and went, okay, why isn't it getting fixed? Oh man, it's still listed. And it may take a while for that change on your web host to get to the various directories. So if you change that artwork, keep note that there is some sort of latency that's going to happen.
But that is if you're changing the artwork and how you want to appear in directories.
Yeah.
You should always have the option of changing the album artwork if for that. when you change a web host image, it does not necessarily change for the episode. If you create new artwork for the episode, it does not necessarily change for the web host either. There were some podcasters that actually had different artwork for every episode they did.
There's a number of people that still do that. Yeah.
And I admire that, and I think it's great. But I also think that it's a good idea to, if you're going to do that, you can do that. Just remember to upload the artwork onto your episode. Question is, where do you do that? Well, in iTunes and Apple Music, there should be a section that says album artwork, import album artwork, and you just drop it in.
Yes.
It can be something as simple as a drag and drop. And that would be the last of the ID3 tags you have to do. Once you put in your album artwork, you are ready for uploading. So if no one has any other questions about album art or what to look for, how to design it, or who to reach out to, by all means, you're always welcome to reach out here and just check with us and check with people. Find out if they are be interested in making a really solid piece of show art for you. But just something to keep in mind, the formats, and then we're going to move on to the next thing. Formats are either going to be JPEG or PNG, Portable Network Graphic. Those are your two formats. Color mode should be, and I cannot stress this enough, RGB. It has to be RGB. Not CMYK, not grayscale, RGB.
Not Pantone.
Not Pantone. Resolution, 72 pixels per inch. Basic screen resolution. So you're good there. 72 mm-hmm. pixels per inch. And now we get to the size. And boy, howdy, do people get tripped up on this, but it's real simple. At a minimum, it should be 1400 by 1400 pixels. At a maximum, it should be 3000 by 3000 pixels. Is that big? Hell yes, it's huge.
Remember when it used to be 300 by 300?
Yep, because we had those little iPod screens or we had the little MP3 player screens. But that is not the case anymore.
No.
It's now 1400 by 1400 or 3000 by 3000. And if you're curious why the sudden change, because some people actually use Apple TV and other streaming services.
4K Apple TV, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of cool. I won't lie. It's kind of cool playing my own podcast and seeing my artwork up there. I won't lie. It is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But and guess what? If you do your ID3 tags properly, all that ID3 tags also show up on your 4K Apple TV, as opposed to file 14771476.jpg, .mp3, which brings us, of course, to the next thing we wanted to talk about, file conventions. Now, we did a breakdown of how Technorama does it, so I'd like to go on ahead and just turn this over to Chuck. Chuck, when it comes to file naming, what do you use? What is your modus operandi?
And we generally have some acronym or initialization for the show itself. So I can tell my Technorama files from my Topicus Trek files. Not that they're in the same directory, but when I'm working on these multiple things at a time and they all get thrown on my desktop for work in progress, I can tell the difference between TTIT and TECH or BP for breakpoint, or, you know, whatever the show happens to be. PFD is in the file name somewhere for Podcasting for Dummies. We know what the show is. So somewhere in there, have your show name. Even if you just have one show, you'll thank me later. Okay, because as we've said numerous times, you will get the bug and you will start creating multiple shows. Trust us. Or this one will die and you'll go on and create a follow-on show. Okay. Keep your file names somewhere in that file name. I also like to put the date and or episode number so you can sequence them. And don't be short-sighted and start calling them EP1, EP2, EP3, because as soon as you get to EP10, well, that's going to be sorted before EP2 in your directory.
Right.
Okay. So
right. Another way to look at a naming convention, just throwing that Photoshop example.
Yeah.
That I was talking about in the previous episode. You ever be told, you know, it's like an old file. Somebody gets and like, hey, here's a PSD. You know Photoshop. Can you go on ahead and make a quick change? Yeah, sure. This has happened to me way too often in communications. I open up an old PSD. It's 20 layers. layer one, layer two, layer three, layer four. Yeah, that kind of pain. That's what we're trying to avoid in telling you of a great way to make a file naming convention for your podcast. It is no different than giving your layers labels. That way people know what to look for.
There you go.
Okay, yeah. So back to you, Chuck.
I like to make them so they sort in a directory so that if I reverse sort and say, show me all the newest ones at the top, they come to the top, which is handy if you put the date in there. Please use year, month, day format. If some people in the U.S. may go month, day, year, well, then your whole thing falls apart. All of your January shows are going to be at the top. January from 2015, 16, 17, not going to, you know, your whole sorting idea just went out the window. So year, 4 year, 4 years. Don't get caught by Y2K again or Y21K or 3K or whatever it is. Okay. 4 years. You can put a dash in there if you want, but I'm lazy. I don't put them in there. If we look at the way that we're naming the Podcasting for Dummies files, it is 2021, 0221. Okay, so I got year, month, day, dash, PFD, Podcasting for Dummies, SO4E15, okay, right. .mp3. So we've got enough information there to tell when it was released, what season it was in, what show it goes with, if we should ever have another strike of lightning or a slap upside the head or a concussion when we create another show, we can tell them apart. Even if we have the same naming scheme, the PFD will change.
Right. And it really comes back to your mileage may vary. How do you feel comfortable with the way you you name your files? And here's what it's as complicated as you want to make it. Like for my own, I use the convention that Chuck is mentioning. For the shared desk, it's TSD. For a happy hour from the tower, it's HHFTT. But then I go dash 0 10 or 0 15 or 0 25.
Yeah.
Now, I did that for the very first podcast. I went 001. And I remember when I first did that, my cohort, the co-host said to me, are we going to be making over 100 episodes?
1,000?
I said,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know what? I'm going to plan on it.
You know what? We started naming our Technorama ones with 3 episodes, and we're getting close to 700, and I'm getting nervous.
Exactly. But that's the thing. That's the thing. You want to plan for the future.
Yep.
And your naming convention could be as simple or as complicated as you. If you want to do it by date, you can do it by date. We set examples in the book. But these little naming conventions are just going to make it a lot easier for you to find episodes. And if they're all over the place in the naming convention, you're going to be screwed.
Yeah.
So and here's the other thing. It may seem pompous starting off that very first podcast with 001. Trust me, if you really get caught with the podcasting bug, and chances are you will, hitting that 100 episode is going to be like, oh, I actually did this. And you might get there sooner than you realize.
And think of the frequency, too. That's going to make a big difference. If you're doing a daily podcast, you're going to hit 100 in 3 months. Okay. That ain't too long. So you obviously want at least 3 zeros in there.
So. And I'll tell you something. It is not necessarily uncommon to even go 4 digits long.
Yeah.
Chuck and I, we talk about one of the legends, Brian Ibbett, who is still producing. After 15 years, he is still producing Coverville. And he is in the thousands with his podcast. The guy is freaking Iron Man. The guy is astounding. And so find the naming convention that works best for you. Now we get to file transfer protocol.
The 8.3 days are over. You don't have to work with DOS file name conventions anymore.
No, you can do it. You can do it. Whatever makes you feel comfortable.
Avoid those special characters though. Letters, numbers, underscores, maybe in dashes. But no dots, no spaces. Keep them clean because you don't know exactly what somebody else's browser or MP3 player is going to balk on.
And the same thing with the web hosts, which we're about to talk about. Because now, once you've got your album artwork done and you've got your file named, you're ready to FTP this summer. So we're about to upload it.
It's time.
It's time. It's time.
It's time to make it available to the public.
So where do we begin?
I usually begin, well, we mentioned Libsyn in the previous episode. They're a wonderful hosting service. You know, not that Libsyn.com, not that either of us are using that anymore, but at one time I was, and it made that entrance to it very easy. A lot of these hosting services have a very simple interface to make it easy for new podcasters to upload their files. A lot of times you can just drag your file from your desktop or your file navigator right into their web browser, and it's in your directory ready to go. So,
and real quick, before we start getting into web hosts, just to echo what Mika said in chat, for the love of God and your file naming conventions, never use an emoji.
Oh my God. I've never even thought of that. Nope. That's awesome.
If you really want to piss off some developers, you do that. But I wouldn't do that. Because, man, if you lose IT, you're gone. You're toast. You're toast, my friend. You're toast. But going back to it, yeah, you can do something like Libsyn, which is really a turnkey, a turnkey approach to podcasting. Everything is there. Or you can go and do something like what I'm doing. I work with DreamHost. They are my web server. I have a web host plugin that works with it's a one click plugin, and then they also have a pod engine for me to use, and I'm using Blueberry, which is my podcast my one click podcast. A lot of those are out there too, mm-hmm. and that interfaces with my WordPress, and then I go on ahead and I launch a blog, and I'm ready to go.
I'm still old school. I fire up the FTP client. I don't do command line anymore.
Right. At least you got that.
But
I still do that too. Yeah. I'm still old school in it. I'm using Fetch.
I use an application on the Mac called CyberDuck. It's been around for a long, long time. I pay for it. I think they do. CyberDuck is very handy. And I put in my credentials and say, here's the folder where I want to drop my Podcasting for Dummies files. It's under, host, Podcasting for Dummies, media. Boom. There they are. And then I just drag it in and it uploads the file. So it's still a very easy process. I go, open up CyberDuck, click, connect, drag, done. Now, when I'm posting, I have to give the full URL path to that. HTTPS, podcastingfordummies.com/media/ file name, done. And there's a verify button on WordPress that says, go check and make sure I didn't make a typo or I put it in the wrong folder. And it will say, yes, I got your file. It's 43 meg, whatever it is. And it's good. If I see it turn green, I'm good to post. If I see it turn red, I made a mistake and I have to go fix it.
And all these processes that we're talking about with FTP, how to log in, how to actually do, if you've never done FTP by hand, that's okay, because we have in the book, how to do this with Fetch, how to do this with CyberDuck, and how to do it with FileZilla.
Yep.
And literally, it is all it is just a matter of finding your file on your computer, dragging it over, and that's how you FTP. It's very easy to do. It gets even easier to do when you're using a turnkey service like Libsyn, because Libsyn just says, yeah, upload it, and it's already there.
Right.
So you're not quite live, but you are like one step away from it. You are one step away from going live. And when you're this close, all that's left is putting together show notes. And you can do that as well. Libsyn, as I said, with a turnkey system, Libsyn says, here's a blog. You can go ahead and just start creating your show notes here. With WordPress, with the way Chuck and I do it, we have to have the blog set up first. So you set up your blog, and then once your blog is done the way you want it to look, when it's customized, when it looks pretty, that's when you start putting together show notes. And this is literally the final step. And then once you hit publish, it's live. But that we're going to go into on the next
teaser.
So Chuck, that's a teaser. I barely know her. Did you have any last thing to say about the uploading, the artwork, any of that?
There's just a wide spectrum of ways you can go. You can go from the easy stuff that's hosted. You're going to be paying a few dollars. If you've been doing this for a while or you're an experienced IT geek, you might choose to do a self-hosted option like we do. We've got a virtual machine out on linode.com. We paid for some extra storage to store the last 15 years of legacy data. And to me, it's the same. I'm just dumping a file in CyberDuck to A or B. But there's the easier you make it, you're paying somebody for that ease of use, and there's nothing wrong with that. So keep it easy, keep it fun, and you'll continue podcasting for a while.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about the FTB process, about putting together artwork, or any of the final touches before getting into show notes, you know where you can find us. You can find us right here on Twitch when we record, and you can interact with us live at twitch.tv/TheTMonster. You can also drop us a voicemail at WhatsApp or on Google Voice. We'd love to hear from you. 703-791-1701. Or you can go straight to podcastingfordummies.com and find the show that you want to comment on. Drop us a comment. We will gladly address it in the next recording session that we do. And we really appreciate each and every one of you being here. Remember, folks, Podcasting for Dummies is created by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. On behalf of my partner in crime, Chuck, thanks for listening, everybody. Pod on.